Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Special Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking with Dr. Thierry van den Driesche, a Belgian molecular biologist and president of the local organizing committee of the European Society of Gene and Cell Therapy, which just held its 2023 annual conference in Brussels. Dr. van den Driesche did his PhD in gene therapy and has been working in the field for nearly 40 years. He's been with the University of Brussels, the Weizmann Institute in Israel, and did his postdoc at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. He is now a full professor at the University of Brussels, where he directs the Department of Gene Therapy. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Glad to be here.
This is the largest annual gathering of the society that you have ever held. Can you explain why this is so important and why gene therapy has taken off so quickly in the last few years?
Well, thank you, Larry, for the question. I mean, the momentum in the field is really increasing now. There's no doubt about that. If you look at the number of people that attend our annual meeting, this has been increasing year by year. This year, we have 2,600 delegates attending our annual conference. This is the largest number ever. And we have accumulated more and more gene therapy products now that have been approved by FDA, by EMA, for so many different disease types, rare diseases, and also cancer. So I think that serves as a testimony to the increased momentum of the field.
How many diseases are currently being treated with approved gene therapies?
Oh, that's a very good question, Larry. In fact, there are about many different types of cancer, but also immune defects, thalassemia, hereditary blindness, muscle disorders like Duchenne and spinal muscular atrophy, as well as hemophilia. All these diseases are now benefiting from the advances in gene therapy and the availability of gene therapy products.
Now, in your opening presentation, you said the following: academic researchers, biotech, and pharma companies in Europe have been instrumental in developing the field of gene therapy. Between 2017 and 2019, the lead author of 120,000 papers in cell and gene therapy publications was affiliated with a European institution, compared to 72,000 in the US and 100,000 in China. So, in effect, Europe is ahead of the United States in gene therapy research?
Well, I would say that certainly in terms of the pioneering role that Europe has played into moving gene therapy forward, there's no doubt about that. That's the contribution of European researchers has been very significant. Of course, there have also been very important contributions of gene therapists in the US towards the consolidation of these important gene therapy products. But I think historically, the first successful gene therapy trials were actually conducted here in Europe. And actually, I like to say that also the first gene therapy products that were approved in the Western world, well, that was also in Europe. We're actually fortunate, Larry, that we have several mechanisms here in Europe that allow us to work together and combine complementary expertise thanks to European funding. We always say that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and I think this certainly holds true also in the field of gene therapy. I think by bringing people together with complementary expertise, I'm not just saying scientific, but also industrial know-how, manufacturing know-how, regulatory know-how, that's what you need in order to move the field forward. And the European Commission has provided a lot of funds to actually catalyze these interactions between the various stakeholders in the field. And I think that has been instrumental in moving the field forward in the early days. And even now, these interactions are really important to tackle the bottlenecks in gene therapy.
You mentioned three diseases, which we cover: Duchenne muscular dystrophy, hemophilia, and spinal muscular atrophy. And the one thing that unites these three diseases, from what I can tell, is that the gene therapies that have been approved to treat them are all roughly around the same price. And we're talking between $2 and $3 million for one one shot. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to focus on the financial aspects of this. It does put gene therapy beyond the scope and the financial reach of most patients, unless they're obviously insurance covers it. What can be done to bring down the cost of manufacturing?
Yes, that's also a very relevant question, Larry. I think when we look at these costs, we also have to take into perspective the current costs of treatments, the current available, let's say, the conventional treatments. Let's take hemophilia, for example. For, the current cost for recombinant products is easily $200,000 to $300,000 per year per patient. So you have to also put that in the equation. These patients need to be treated for the rest of their life with these recombinant products during, you know, 60, 70 years. So if you do the math, actually the gene therapy costs, in an ideal case, we hope it's a one-and-done treatment, will actually be cheaper than taking into account the lifelong treatments with the current options based on recombinant factors. Of course, for other treatments, there are, for other diseases, there are no treatments available. But yes, I agree, Larry, this is actually still quite expensive. But I think in the end, there will be competition between different companies providing different products with complementary properties, and I think the competition will drive the prices down ultimately.
Besides the cost aspect, what other obstacles do you confront in bringing products to market? For example, for diseases for which no gene therapy exists, and I'm talking about diseases such as Huntington. Yeah. Or Angelman syndrome, or any of the other hundreds, if not thousands, of rare diseases to which no cure currently exists?
Well, you know, it's very important to understand the science with respect to these different diseases. What are the underlying causes and what kind of gene delivery vehicle is best suited to deliver the therapeutic genes into the cells? And we have to do so safely, of course, and efficiently. And the Achilles heel of the field is really the vector, the gene delivery vehicle. But we can tamper with these vectors in order to make them much more efficient, much more specific, and much safer, allowing the administration of lower and safer vector doses to achieve a therapeutic effect. And that's what we have to try to achieve for all these different rare diseases. You mentioned Huntington. That's a tricky one because, of course, it's a dominant genetic disease. Many of the diseases that we talked about are recessive genetic diseases. In the case of Huntington or myotonic dystrophy, you have to eliminate a pathogenic element that is present within the gene. But luckily, we have now tools at our disposal to do that. We have molecular scissors based on the CRISPR technology that allow us to take away pathogenic genes that cause harm or pathogenic domains of genes. And that's one way of tackling these dominant genetic diseases like Huntington, like myotonic dystrophy, etc.
Very good. Last question, and that is with the new year approaching, 2024, what can we expect? What diseases do you think might be approachable, let's say in the next 12 months even, in terms of approvals of new gene therapies?
Well, that's a very exciting question there, Larry. And I have tried to get to know more information from my colleagues at the regulatory agencies, but they're quite discreet of what's bubbling now, and I fully understand that. But it always surprises me every year the fact that there's always more and more diseases that benefit from gene therapy. Every year I have to update my slides. Every year I have to add more diseases and sometimes also new emerging technologies that found their way in the treatment of patients by gene therapy.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Dr. Vandin Drischa. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.